Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. We began to look at the issue of the blessing of Abraham, and we're going to go back and review the portion which we looked at briefly on Wednesday. And we're going to continue to delve into this issue of what is the blessing of Abraham. There are a lot of people who are, of course, misquoting this particular verse, and we're looking at either Galatians 3 or Deuteronomy when it talks about the blessing. I'll take that Deuteronomy passage back. I looked at the wrong one. Genesis 15 is what we're talking about. Genesis 15, and or take that one back too. I got the wrong one. I'm sorry. But we're going to continue to look at this issue of what the blessing of Abraham is, and we're going to see that it is not, as the Word Faith group claims that it is, and others of that ilk, that the blessing of Abraham is not material prosperity. That is simply a lie. It is complete false doctrine, and the enormity of the people who follow this era is not an indication of whether their teaching is true. It is an indication that there are a lot of duped people in the professed church. That's what that means. You don't gauge whether a doctrine is true because it can amass a large group of people. That is stupidity. You gauge the reality of the truth, whether it is true according to the Bible. And certainly no systematic teaching at all is going to ever conclude that the blessing of Abraham is for you to get a Cadillac. It's utterly ridiculous. And anyone that believes that simply does not know what they're talking about, and they certainly do not know their Bible. The point of Galatians chapter 3 in particular, let's begin at verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The point of bringing up Abraham's name, as we saw last time, was that Abraham was the founder of the Jewish nation. And it was important that the Gentiles understood that the founder of the Jewish nation was not saved by the law, he was not saved by circumcision, but that he was saved by faith in God himself, which is what Paul is quoting in Galatians 3:6. He's actually quoting from Genesis 15:6, which says, "And he being Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him for righteousness." Abraham believed in the Lord. He had faith in God, and he had faith in God's promises. Abraham trusted in the Lord. And as I said, the perfect tense is used here in Hebrew to indicate that Abraham's faith in God was complete and it was permanent. And the response of God to Abraham's faith was that God imputed or charged to Abraham's account righteousness. Now, there was no Mosaic law prior to Abraham to believe in, so he couldn't be saved by the law. And we've already seen that law had no redemptive merit anyway. There was nothing in the law that would save a person. Abraham was saved by faith in God, and Abraham was not saved by circumcision, because Abraham believed God before he was circumcised. So circumcision had nothing to do with Abraham standing before God at all. Abraham believed God, and God counted his faith in God for righteousness. Period. No works, nothing of the kind. Nothing but faith in God. And Paul says in verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So those who are rooted in their conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, these are the children of God, and there are no others. And as I quoted, since faith was the way Abraham was justified, it follows that those who exercise like faith are his true followers. The phrase sons of Abraham or children of Abraham is not to be understood in a genealogical sense, but rather in the ethical sense of the term. Abraham was accepted by God on the basis of faith, and God deals with all men on the same moral basis. Thus, the faith exercised by Abraham is declared to be the fundamental condition of acceptance with God. It's just the issue of saving faith in God, believing in God, and that's exactly how all people are saved, by faith in God, throughout all of redemptive history. And remember this point. God was saving people by faith before the law and after the law. So what makes you think that God wasn't saving people the same way during the law? Now, there's no question about that. Was David pre or during the law? Was David around before the law or during the law?
During.
He was around during the law. What did Paul say in Romans 4 about David and his salvation? So you got to turn to Romans 4 to find that. Say again. That's right. Very good. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Okay? A person is justified before the law, during the law, and after the law the same way.
Amen.
And there is no other way. Men have always been saved by faith. They've never been saved by the law. The law did not have a redemptive factor in it in the first place. This is... Okay, just relax. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So the question arises, what is the blessing of Abraham? And I always use the singular because there is a specific blessing that is talked about here. The word faith ilk, and those who believe in their error, always use the terminology blessings, plural. And when they talk about blessings, plural, they're talking about material prosperity. Unfortunately for them, and this is a very important point, because if you fail to understand what the blessing of Abraham is, it is highly doubtful you know anything about salvation. The fact is that the blessing of Abraham is singular. It is not plural. The Bible never refers in the Galatian epistle to the blessings of Abraham. It always refers to that which is singular. So for people today, in the word faith ilk, to teach that the blessings of Abraham is material prosperity is simply not true. And what those who are in that movement better understand is what the blessing of Abraham really is. Because up until this point in our study, the blessing of Abraham clearly is justification by faith. So if the word faith cult and others who are of that ilk, or those who may not necessarily be a word faith, but who actually adhere to some of the error, and a lot of people do, even in so-called Protestant denominations, if they actually believe that, they're actually missing what the real blessing is. If a man tells you that the blessings of Abraham is a Lexus, and he's not telling you that the blessing of Abraham is salvation, then there's a great possibility that you may not even be born again at all. If you believe that the blessings of Abraham, which the Bible does not teach, is material prosperity, and you miss the real blessing of Abraham, which is justification, you might be in some dire straits right now. See, the enemy is very, very slick. He will always misuse the truth to appeal to the flesh of people. We underestimate the power of the flesh. We also underestimate the fact that people are liars. They say they want something, they really don't want it. They say they want the truth, but they really don't want it. What they want is what their flesh wants. And if they can have a little truth mixed in with their flesh, they're content to have it so. Period. And what appeals to people in that fake and phony religion is the lie that God will give you everything that that you want. God will give you that car that you can't afford. God will give you that house. God will give you that husband or wife. God will give you all these things. And people running around claiming people are theirs, and claiming a house is theirs, and claiming a car or a job is theirs. And they say that this is clearly seen in the scripture. It's not seen at all in the scripture. It's a lie. But if you are of that ilk and you want that deception to be a part of your life, you'll believe the lie. You hear the truth and you will bristle against it, because it's not what you want. It's not what your false teacher told you. People lie. They don't want the truth. Multitudes of people watching and listening, they don't want the truth at all. Truth is right in front of their face. They can't even see it because they don't want to see it. They want the lie. And so they'll go after the lie. They could just as well go after the truth as the lie. It depends upon the aim of their desires. If they want to go to the truth, they're not going to follow the lie to find the truth. If the Holy Spirit is truly touching a heart, and that person, that man or woman, is being dealt with by the Spirit, do you think God's going to send him to a lie? The biggest hindrance to a person is the person. God's not going to send you to a lie. He's going to send you to the truth. And he's going to open up your eyes so you can recognize the truth when you see it or hear it. I don't buy this idea that everybody is searching for truth and they really want it and they're in some haven of false doctrine because they really don't know where the truth is and blah, blah. I don't believe that nonsense for a second. I believe people are where they are because they want to be there, and people are avoiding where the truth is because they don't want to be there. The blessing of Abraham, singular, is justification by faith. The word faith heretics would do well to learn how to study the Bible. We'll precede that with knowing Christ. And then know their Bible and say something that the text really does say instead of what the text doesn't say. So to state that the context of Galatians 3 and the references to the blessing of Abraham means material prosperity, and I'll say it again, is ignorant, fraudulent, heretical, demonic, false doctrine, plain and simple. Where are the people saying this? There used to be a time where we had people that would stay on the line and say it. They're all gone now if they haven't been assimilated into the lie themselves. I'm not going anywhere. There is no reference made whatsoever to anything material in this entire epistle as it refers to Abraham or to you. Nothing at all. The blessing of Abraham, singular blessing, is the word I use because, as we will see in verse 14, that is the word that is used to describe what the blessing is to the Gentiles, and then the text will explain, as it already has, directly what the blessing is. Word faithers use the word blessings. Most, if not all, of their pipers use the words blessings. But interestingly enough, as I said already last time, Paul never used the word blessings. And why is that? Well, because the text clearly points out to the truth seeker that there are no blessings, plural, as defined materially according to these false teachers, but this blessing singular refers to justification by faith. And it's more important to be justified by faith than to drive a Jaguar. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's Deuteronomy 27:26, which says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And the people shall say, Amen. In other words, cursed be he that did not take his stand publicly in keeping the covenant of blessings and cursings to do of all of what was written therein. So instead of producing righteousness, following the law produced death. It produced a curse. That's it. If one did not follow the law to the letter, it produced death. If you kept the law, you are therefore obligated to keep it all. And I'll say it again. There are 613 I'm going to keep making this point clear until it's hammered home. There are 613 Old Testament commandments that were given to Israel. You are not Israel. You never were. You never will be. It's given to that nation at that time. Contained in the law of Moses was the civil, criminal, and ceremonial law. All that is part of the law. All of it. So you couldn't live in one aspect of the law because the law was not one aspect. You couldn't live in the ceremonial or the religious part of the law because the law was more than just religion. And this is basic to our understanding of why people are confused. It's also basic to our understanding why people do not understand their Bibles. That's why there is an Old Testament. It's there to be read, not ridiculed. People say, well, the Old Testament is just a bunch of history. I would not follow a fool that would stand behind a pulpit or a classroom and say that. I would pick up my Bible and my family and get out of there that moment. A man who will not teach from Genesis to Revelation is not called of God. I know that's going to shock a lot of folks because your favorite Bible bud, he doesn't do it. Yet he speaks those relevant, hot messages that are really blessing your life. He ain't doing nothing. Because you've been hearing hundreds of relative hot messages, your life is still a shambles to this minute. And so you go hear another relevant hot message from a different person. This is the trap of people wanting to hear 8 or 9 different speakers. The word is the word. Why do you need to hear from 8 or 9 different people before you believe that the word that the first one spoke is the word? Back to the issue of the law. So people say, well, I'm following the Ten Commandments. You're not. You're not. Let's make sure we understand that now. You're not following the other 603 either. Because contained in the law, you had the three elements of the civil, criminal, and ceremonial law. I know you're not following the criminal law because, as I said Wednesday, when you have your rebellious child, you're not stoning him to death. You didn't take him to the elders that don't exist and stone them to death. That was a prescription. And the last time you decided to have an affair, you didn't join the rock pile. Okay, so I know you're not following the criminal law or the civil law either, for that matter. You're not following any of it. What do you do with all the references to your livestock? Got any livestock? No? Okay, well, you that's part of it. And what about clothing? No, you're not doing that. And then you want to go into the ceremonial law, the religious aspect of law. You're not following that either. You're not. You're not bringing in the proper sacrifice to atone for your sin. Where is your rams, your lambs, your bullocks, your heifer, your meal offering, your grain offering, your wine offering? Where are these at? That's all part of keeping the whole law. And the Bible says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Then the people shall say, amen. And Paul said, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you're cursed. Because you're not doing it. I don't care what anybody tells you. You're not doing it. And those of you folks who want to always, put on your tithe badge, you think that tithing is your golden key to prosperity. That's no more true than the word faith heresy. Listen, it's a twisting of another Old Testament passage to accomplish the same deceit as the word faith talking about the blessings of Abraham. It's taken the Old Testament law, which they know nothing about. It's taken an aspect from the ceremonial law and doing the same thing that the word faith people think. I don't like the word faith movement. You're doing the same thing. See, but it takes courage to face the truth. It takes more courage to do something about it. I probably shut off every Baptist right now. You know why? Because they're not thinking. Amen. They're not thinking for one second. They're so busy hollering and screaming and grabbing stuff to throw at the television. They shut their brain. Now, this is a thinking man's message. This is a thinking man's program. You are not tithing according to the Old Testament, and you know it. instead of bringing your pastor all this money, why don't you bring him 10% of your food? That's what it's about. And all the storehouse folks talking about bring me tithes to the storehouse. The storehouse is not Bank of America. The storehouse is not Wells Fargo. The storehouse is not Washington Mutual. For those of you that, who will try to understand some sense, the storehouse was just that, a literal attachment to the temple area. It was a house that stored something. It stored grain. That's why it's called a storehouse, because it was a house that stored something. Hello? You know, it's in the Word, and they had food and grain. Why don't you bring 10% of all your groceries? It's not 10%. Bring 10% of all. Let's just start there, because you ain't going to do that anyway. Take all 10% of all food out your refrigerator, bring it into the storehouse. You say you keep the law. If you're not, you're cursed. I know you're cursed. I'm just messing with you. Bring 10% of all your corn, your grain, and your dry goods and everything. Bring them to the storehouse. And then bring another 10% and feed the poor with it. You ain't doing that. You already cursed about that too. You're not feeding the poor and hungry. You claiming to be poor and hungry. Because you keep giving your money to that bootleg snake. That's why you're poor and hungry. How many poor people you feed in your community? How many poor people you know? The Bible says you're cursed. And what about the fatherless and the widows? There's a percentage even given to them. How many fatherless and widow people do you know? You're cursed if you're not doing it. The point is, you're cursed. If you think you're keeping any aspect of the law, and if you think that you're mixing that with grace, you're cursed. Why? Because if you're going to do any of the law, you're obligated to do all of it. That's what saith the scripture. That's not what saith the pastor, not what your pastor doesn't say, it's what saith the scripture. I know he won't tell it, but he don't even know it. He's so busy telling you that you got to bring him more money so he can buy a bigger house, a bigger car, a nicer suit, and what have you. He don't care about your spiritual well-being, but you know what? You're dumb enough to give the money. So you get what you deserve. Griping about it all the way, calling everybody, as I said, you think want to hear about it. Nobody wants to hear about you complaining about your preacher. You want to pay him anyway. Hoping that he's right. Hoping that Elijah's right so you can get a blessing from God. That's worse than a no-way taste. That's downright stupid. The man ain't a man of God. I know what I'm obligated to do. No, you don't. How can you sit there with a straight face and say, you know what you're obligated to do? I'm supposed to obey what God said and give my money to the church and to the pastor, and I let the law deal with him the way the law deal with him. I'm obligated to give. You know what you're obligated to? Open up your Bible and obey God instead of having them talking points and acting a fool. You don't know what your obligation is because you haven't read it. You are in that system. That religious system has its grip, its vice all over your life. That's what the problem is. You're hearing the truth and it's conflicting against the system which you are a willing part of. That's the problem. And you hear these messages and it is tearing you to ribbons. But you refuse to face the fact that you are in blatant error. Willfully, you are there. You know what you're doing, consciously supporting error. And there's this great conflict in your spirit all the time. And you swear you'll never watch this program again until next week. Because you know you're going to get truth here. I'm not going to sit there and believe that you're not going to watch it. Of course you're going to watch it. You're going to watch it because that little hope of an inner man that's in you is crying out to hear the plain, simple teaching of God's word. And you're hearing it. You're not getting it where you're at. And you better hear me very carefully. All you TV folks, all you tape radio folks listening to this, God is going to give you this truth for a limited time. And you better respond to it while you have the opportunity. Because it's going to come a day, it's going to come a moment, where if you don't respond to it, you're going to start turning against it. And you will be plunged even further in the depths of the system. Because God gave you the truth to rescue you from that mess. And you know that I'm telling you what the Bible says. You know what the Bible is telling you is the truth. But you have to face the fact that you've been in wrong. You've been in error all your life, all these years. And it's going to take courage to stand up and say, I'm not going to take this anymore. I have to get out of here. You're going to be ridiculed by everybody. Is hell worth going because of ridicule, avoidance of ridicule? Let the whole world speak against you. You got to follow what the truth is. You got to search it out. You got to stop convincing yourself that truth is according to your race. Well, I leave the black church, but there ain't no other churches. Say the word black, because that's what you're saying. There ain't no other churches that are teaching the truth. The word is there ain't no other Negroes that you know are teaching the truth. That's what you're really saying. There are no other Negroes that you know are teaching the truth. There are plenty of churches. And if you get off this color fix and go out there and find someone teaching the Bible, they're out there. You're just not going to be able to hoop and holler and get entertained. That's all. And see, part of that system, when you leave the system, you have to leave it all. Amen. And the problem is some of you don't want to leave the system. You want to take the system with you. You could take the person out of the system, but you can't take the system out of the person. And so they're going to go, I would go to white church down the street, but all they're going to do is sing hymns, and they just go, well, what's wrong with hymns? Amen. It's your baby. What does all that mean? All they do is, they just teach the Bible. And that's wrong because you just admit it. They're teaching it. You don't have it at all where you at. You just indicted yourself, fool. I've got to go there, but you can't act the spook. That's why you ain't going. You can't act the Negro. That's why you ain't going. Man, that man is rough. That man is brutal. That man is right. And you know it's right. You don't want to go there because you can't act a fool. You're used to the system. It's already tailor-made to you. You're going to have to go to another place, and that word is going to start dealing with you every time you hear it, and you don't want to be bothered with it. You're having a hard time listening to this bit. You didn't follow all the law of Moses. You were cursed. This means that there was and is no mixture of law in Christ. You either have one or the other, but not both. If you fail to obey the law, which is undoubtedly and was undoubtedly impossible for the Galatians and impossible for you, then you and they are under the curse, and that's the point. It was not possible for the Galatians to obey the law. And if they attempted to follow the errant Judaizers, they would be all under the curse. And the same thing is true today. But it's unbelievable today how those in the Word Faith cult are so deceived to believe that you can obtain material blessings from God by extracting partial principles or reconstituted formulas from the Old Testament without regard to one's morality or of the curses imposed on those who violated the law of Moses. So they're going back into the Old Testament, extracting some principles that we've already seen don't even make any sense. Reconstituted formulas. Doesn't matter how you live. There's no issue of the morality of those who are in the movement, because the central figure is not Christ and holiness. It's the pastor and the preacher and the money and the message. That's all that it's about. Your pastor, so-called, is your God, and I'm dignifying the fool by calling him a pastor. So let me call him what he is. He's a bootleg snake, and he's your God. He tells you what to think, how to think, when to think, why to think. And you like that because it appeals to your flesh. and a spiritual lotto. And you're hoping that God is going to give you something through this lying heretic dog, and he's not going to do it. Now, the devil don't mind giving it to you, because as long as it keeps you deceived, that's fine. But if you're going to follow a religious group that's going to extract principles from the Old Testament and then mix it with grace and tell you that you have to keep both the law and grace to be blessed of God, that, my friends, is false doctrine. You believe that, you're under the curse. Forget the blessing, you're under the curse. Why? Because that's what saith the scripture. And now that I mentioned the Mosaic Law, the blessing principle, which should be actually the blessing cursing principle. See, they don't want to talk about the curses. The blessing cursing principle came to Israel under the Mosaic Law, not Gentiles, not word faith heretics, or anyone else for that matter. It was given to the Jews. It wasn't given to you. What I'm saying, and what the scriptures are saying, is that for the word faith movement to work, its followers must live according to all the Mosaic Law, since their principal truth comes from the law. You can't just extract principles from the Mosaic system, the main one of which, the blessings of Abraham, which it isn't, because the true blessing of Abraham is justification. If you're going to build a theology, if you're going to build a church and a foundation around the principles of the Old Testament, you're going to have to follow all the law, or else you're cursed. This is what the Bible says. And please don't write or call and start ranting and raving about what I know you don't know. Okay, I've given you the word. Deal with that. And believe me, I talked enough for y'all to know you're not going to do it. So don't even bother. They always run to Deuteronomy to establish their blessing doctrine. Do they not? Sure do. They always connect themselves to Abraham and to the material promises that were made to Israel. Do they not? And you're not Israel. They seem to forget that there were divine curses attached to those who violated the law of Moses. Do they not? Of course they forget them. They ain't going to talk about no cursing. Oh, blessing, 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 blessing. Oh, yeah, only blessing. like Paul Crouch said years ago, he says, those of you that don't send in your money to support the worldwide ministry of TBN are going to miss your reward in heaven. You know what, if he's bold enough to say such ridiculous nonsense, I'm bold enough to say the man is lost. I'm not going to miss my blessing because I'm not going to support that blasphemous network. I'm going to get my blessing in heaven because I'm not going to be anywhere near that mess. They seem to forget that the promised land was not the driveways of their new name and claim and houses. The point is, if you want Mosaic promises, then you must live by the Mosaic Law. That's according to the Bible. Well then, let's see the requirements as stated in verse 10. Then let's see what happens if you decide that you can live under the law, and what happens if you fail to live accordingly. Okay? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. All right. You're cursed. Right now. Right this moment. You're under God's curse. Okay? Because you cannot meet the requirements. And that was the whole point of the passage. You are cursed not because Harley Howard said you're cursed, but because it is written. And it stands as God's completed truth. May God's divine wrath be meted out on every single person who does not live by every single law that is written in the book of the law to do them. Friends, there is no person on this planet who is keeping or has kept the Mosaic Law, or who is going to keep it, because it has been done away with forever in Christ. It's over. Since it is not possible to keep Mosaic laws, then no Mosaic promises should be received. Amen. But God's wrath clearly can be received if you decide that you want to keep the law, which you cannot keep, and which does not exist anyway. Nor, if it did, would it save you. not to mention that all material promises associated in the Old Testament having to do with Israel all refer to Israel and their arrival in the Promised Land. A point missed by most folks today? Let me say that again, because they're not going to tell you this. All material promises associated in the Old Testament having to do with Israel all refer to Israel and their arrival into the Promised Land. And you are not Israel. The church is not Israel. The church is the church. And by the way, you know, thinking people think. Amen. You know, stupid people, they just, they don't think. They don't think. Let me see if I get this right. If the early church, for the most part, was impoverished, stop, and it was, biblically and historically, no question. That long word, for those of you that do not have a dictionary and didn't bother to pay attention in English class or in your junior high or high school, impoverished, for you folk that want the skinny, broke, big time busted. Okay. If the early church, for the most part, was broke, for those of you who, you know, have your pre-GED education, broke, or your gutter speak, or what have you, broke. Okay. And they were indeed impoverished. You can see that in the epistles. No question about that. I mean, Paul even talks about that. The Jerusalem church was broke. And so Paul got collections from all the Gentile churches who were already broke. They gave beyond their ability, which means they gave beyond what they had, so they were broke even more after that. I want you to just think with me. Think with me. This is so simple. If the early church, for the most part, was impoverished, broke, and they were indeed impoverished, you can easily see this in the epistles, then how is it possible to correctly interpret the scriptures to mean that which was not contextually or historically true regarding the church? That is, that the church was rich, and that because they were rich, that we should be as well. It doesn't make any sense. How could it mean something to you that didn't mean to them? See, I don't understand why folk ain't thinking. Except they're hoping that spiritual lotto's going to come in. I mean, when you think about it, who else could be a greater source of cars and homes and wives and husbands and money than God? If you can get the magical formula of God on your side, you'd be in it. You'd have it down forever. Stupid people. It is astonishing to me how that anyone could ever be involved with the Word Faith cult and its many offshoots or appendages. If you cannot possibly understand the scriptures to any degree, how can you be involved in this nonsense? The church in the New Testament was impoverished. You mean to tell me that you have come to the place in the modern church where you can apply scriptures that they most definitely understood greater than you, that you can apply scripture better than the early church, that this impoverished state wasn't? I mean, you hear so many people say Jesus was rich and the church was rich and the apostles were rich. They weren't. The Bible says it. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. I figured if you were rich, you'd have a place at least to lay your head. The apostles, they left their business to follow Christ. They were broke. They were broke. The Lord sent them out on a journey to preach the gospel. He said, go into the villages and into the cities, and those that will let you come in, you know, that make peace, come in and get whatever they give you. Why? Because they didn't have anything. He didn't say go to the crib down in Jerusalem and bust out some rolls of money and, you know, wherever you go, find the finest hotels and get the baddest chariot and take a ride down the street and throw out the prosperity gospel. I'm going to tell you the solution to all this problem. It's called salvation. Once these people get saved, they'll have an understanding of the truth. Because until then, you're just part of the system, part of that lost religious system. Now, most word faithers love to go to chapter 28 of Deuteronomy for their blessing chant. Yet they fail to see that the cursings, which were introduced before the blessings, are in chapter 27. They don't want to talk about the blessings, but they want to talk about the cursing. They want to talk about the blessing. The curse was to be declared on all who would not make a public confirmation to obey the law. But since the law is done away with, then any attempt to follow it places every single person doing it under God's divine wrath anyhow. I mean, if you were cursed when you couldn't obey it when it existed, how much the more are you cursed when there is no law to obey? Come on, folks, this is not difficult to understand. And then he says in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It's clear. I love that. He's saying you're cursed if you can't keep the law, all the things that are written therein. The point is you can't. He says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It's clear. Why? The just shall live by faith. You're not keeping the law. I know that. I know the snake is telling you, don't listen to him. Don't listen to the program. Don't listen to the... Go in the Word. Listen, you claim to want to know your Bible. You claim to know the Word of God, but you don't. Go in there and read it then. And don't read it with the slant in mind or that bootleg snake telling you what it means. See for yourself what it says. Amen. If you have any Holy Spirit, you'll be able to see it. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The individual who does not remain in the sphere of the law is under this, or who does remain in the sphere of the law, rather, is under the curse. The individual who attempts to remain in the sphere of the law by obeying the law is not justified before God, because justification is by faith. And again, let me address those who teach this nonsense that if you could keep every tenet of the law from your birth, you would be saved. Where is that in the Bible? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You can keep every one of the law, the commandments of the law, you'd be saved. That is heretical nonsense. That's that junk passed down from people from Sunday school who don't know their Bibles. They don't think. It's amazing how we don't even... I think we come to a level of alleged growth and we just stop. If we get enough little tidbits and Bible biscuits and ham sandwiches and we just dole them out and we're happy, we're content with it. I think, I'm telling you something, most preachers aren't growing. They either grow to the level of their paperwork or grow to the level of what they feel comfortable with in their little part of the system, and they got people working and moving and pulling switches and doohickeys and doogee flippers, and they're happy with that, so they just keep giving a little bit of biscuit, a little bit of ham sandwich spiritually, give them a little of this, a little of that, make them happy, hoop and holler, make them dance and shout and feel, you know, good about themselves, and that they're content with that. As long as they keep on point, on message, everything's fine. Most preachers aren't growing. Many of them don't know the Lord anyway. Ridiculous. Stuff is clear right here. This proves that the context of Paul's entire treatise has to do with justification by faith, and that no one allegedly following Mosaic ritual, be they Jew or Gentile, Seventh-day Adventism, word faith cultic nonsense, or any other Mosaic style religion or works based religion, will ever be justified, because you're not justified by works. Nobody is. Whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, AME, EME, whatever, you know, NBC, CBS, or MSNBC, it don't matter. You need to be saved by faith or you're not saved at all. Paul said, it is evident, it is clear that no man is declared righteous in God's sight, because the just shall live by faith. A man or woman who believes in Jesus is justified, and because he or she is justified by faith in Christ, they can now live a new life in the new relationship with God, accepted in the beloved. This is a relationship that is not possible under the law. It is not possible for you to have a relationship with God under the law. Not possible. Period. So you can't have a relationship with Jesus and then peppered through the entire relationship is all this Mosaic stuff or all the Usaic stuff. It's not happening. It's not happening. You can't have a hybrid, have walk with God. And you're not having it. And the law is not of faith. Verse 12. The law is not of faith. I don't know how many times he has to say it. I guess he has to say it as many times as needs to be said because people don't hear what he's saying. And the law is not of faith. This is the law. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Did you get it? The law is not of faith. The law is not a matter of faith. Law is not faith. Faith is not law. Did you get it? Okay. It does not relate to faith. It does not require faith. It deals in other matters and it pertains to another system than faith. Law and faith as means of justification are mutually exclusive from one another. In fact, they are diametrically opposed to each other. This quotation of Paul, "The man that doeth them shall live in or by them," is used 7 times in the Bible, and in all of the Old Testament references, which is 5, it has to do with Israel keeping the law of Moses and their failure to do it. Simple. Faith does not say that the man that doeth the law shall live by law. Faith says that one must come through Christ and him alone and receive justification as a free gift. That's all. There are a lot of people watching and their whole life is surrounded by a works-based religion. It is a religion. It is a non-saving, Christ-rejecting, meistic, worthless works religion. That's all that it is. And we do not like to face the fact that it is true. Our pride is an evidence that we don't want to face it. Listen. You claim you want to know the truth. You claim you're being obedient to Spirit. You claim you can recognize the Word of God. Well, why don't you respond to what you've heard? And I mean respond properly by saying, "Lord, I am wrong, and I'm going to continue to be wrong if I'm doing what I'm doing." And the other response is not to go, "And though I know I'm wrong and have been wrong and am wrong now, I'm going to keep staying where I'm at because it's the only place I can go, blah, 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 yakety yak, woof, woof, woof." It's nonsense. Either get up off your lazy, systematic behind, and I don't care if you have to go to 100 churches. First, go out of the churches that appeal to your color. Amen. Get out of that habit of the only thing that can minister to you is you. That's a big issue right there. Get most people out of their duff, you know. I got to find me another black something. Because I just can't deal with the white folk. You need to be saved. And the reverse pattern is true. You know, them black people, all they do is, you need to be saved. You need to be saved, period. Because if it's a black thing or a white thing or Oriental thing or a Latin thing, it's the wrong thing. You need to be saved. And when you get saved, you'll say, "Oh, I see now." Not, "But I got, but, he don't understand." Why do I have to understand being an issue? Do you hear what's saved the scripture? That's the issue. If you are under a works-based religion, you are under the curse. Period. The law is not of faith. Christ has redeemed us, verse 13, from the curse of the law. And that's the only way you're going to get redeemed from it. The only redemption from the curse is through Christ, salvation by faith. That's it, honey. You ain't got no redemption other than from Christ, and there's no way to get away from that curse. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree." A vivid picture of the curse that is upon all mankind is given us in the 3 expressions, "under the curse," verse 10, "made a curse for us," verse 13, "and redeemed us out from under the curse," in verse 13. Lest anyone should be under the foolish notion that a person is not under God's curse who decided to live according to the law, Paul said that everyone is under the curse of the law, being guilty of breaking the law of God, and that faith in Christ is the only escape. The only escape. Or as Paul said in Romans 3:19-20, now we know. I love this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. The law says everybody is guilty. The law never says you're justified. Do you understand this? The law does not say you're justified. The law says to the whole world, you're all guilty. But I'm trying to keep some of it. Guilty. But I tithe 10%. Guilty. But I bring my stuff in the storehouse. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty, guilty. But I'm practicing the blessings of Abraham. Guilty. You're all guilty. Because you're under the curse. Because you cannot keep it. Thank you. I keep the Sabbath day. Guilty. You're not doing that either. That's a whole nother series of messages. You ain't keeping no Sabbath day. Because it wasn't written to you anyway, so therefore you're guilty. Incredible. You ever cooked on the Sabbath day? You're guilty. You ever worked on the Sabbath day? Guilty. If you fail in one point of the law, you're guilty of all. Why don't you face the fact that you're guilty and cursed? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his being God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all. The law's purpose is to reveal sin. And we're going to see that. Incredible. Christ has freed the believer from the dominion of the Mosaic law through the price of his vicarious death. He became the curse for us. He became the curse in our place. Or as Dr. Weiss says, the curse, which involved the wrath of a righteous God, brought condemnation upon the offender. From this hopeless state of condemnation, in which the sinner was not only helpless to redeem himself, but helpless to satisfy the just and righteous demands of the law and thus find acceptance with God, Christ redeemed us by satisfying the just demands of the law, which we broke, paying the penalty in our place, leaving a holy God free to bestow mercy on the basis of justice satisfied. End of quote. Christ has become the curse. Christ is the only escape. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them who believe. He's the end of it. So therefore, you can be free. But freedom only in Christ. Not Christ in baptism, not Christ in legalism, not Christ in tithing, Christ in Sabbath, Christ in passes aid, passes love, give, church anniversary, blah, blah, blah. It's Christ and Christ alone. It's not Christ and your 87 works, Christ your perfect attendance, Christ and you. Period. It's Christ alone for salvation. That's the foundation and the starting point where everything must begin. You have to understand that it begins with him and nothing else and no one else. If you can point to anything else other than just Christ, you need just Christ. Amen. Christ in you is still lost. Amen. Christ in your pride and unwillingness to change is still lost. Amen. You are guilty and under the curse. And the only escape is by trusting in Christ alone for your redemption. That's it. He's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. Back to Galatians in closing, if you're not already there. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessing, singular, of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not the Cadillac in the driveway, but the Spirit through faith. It's right there in the Word of God. The blessing, singular, not plural, as the Word Faith heretics constantly say, the blessing of Abraham is justification by faith through Christ, who was born through the line of Abraham, and through Christ the world was blessed with the opportunity for redemption and justification through him, and along with that blessing comes the gift of the Holy Spirit upon the believing individual. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's the blessing of Abraham. And that's all it means. Anyone else teaching anything that has to do with any material prosperity is well, let's just say, the worst case scenario is lost, a deceiver, a false teacher. And I'm inclined to agree that most of them are. Probably a handful of them are just ignorant. But the worst case scenario, that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is most of them are probably just lost. And they got plenty of followers. That doesn't mean that they're right. That just means a lot of stupid people in the world. There's no doubt about that. The issue is, am I looking at one of them in the screen here? Are you stupid? Really? Are you following a fool? Because of a false promise? Because your greed, he tapped into your greed and lust? And gave you a hook and handle? Because that's all that it is. And you believe it? You're not believing God for God, you're believing God for goods. He's offering you a religion that doesn't require you to live holy before God. Offering you a false system of belief that doesn't require you to trust Christ, to submit to his holiness exclusively and alone, to follow the commandments of the Word of God, the teachings that are given to the Church of Jesus Christ. He doesn't teach you to be a disciple, to disciple others, and to follow Christ himself, to get into a good Bible teaching church and to grow in your faith. And you think that he knows God? Do you think that you know God? Neither one of you do. You need to thank God somebody told you. Instead of getting mad, you need to be thankful that somebody told you. Because you know it's true. You need to fall down right where you're at right now and give your life over to Jesus Christ and trust his gospel, trust his redemption and him alone. And get out of that place of doom that you are currently in. Stop making excuses. Get out of it and get yourself into a good Bible teaching church, lest the time is running out for you to be able to even hear the mercies of God and the truth of God. Let's pray. Father, may you touch hearts, Lord, everywhere where the word has gone forth. May people see that they need your Son, not the system that blinds them and binds them and keeps them in bondage, but that they need Christ and him alone. To trust in him and to trust in his wonderful work of salvation. That they would believe the gospel, the saving message of Christ, that they are sinners and that they are headed for deserved judgment. But Christ became the curse for us, Lord. That you sent him to be our redemption, our only hope, our sacrifice. And if we believe in Christ, if we believe the gospel, if we own up to it for ourselves, Lord, trusting you, we would be saved. Your Spirit would infuse us and indwell us, Lord, and would open up our understanding to the truth and open up our understanding to where we need to be led to grow. Lord, I pray that would be true of many, that they would be tired of their religious behavior that's not doing them any good, that they would be tired and through of all this law-based works nonsense, this hybrid of law and grace, regardless whether it's Mosaic, religious, denominationalism, whatever, that they would see there's nothing that anyone can do at all except get into the way of grace and continually further plunge themselves into spiritual death. Lord, I pray that you would just rescue souls nearest hell, Lord. There's someone out here, Father, who hears this word that will turn to you right now. Change the hearts and lives of these people, Father. May they get beyond their anger and see the passion needed, Lord, to know you. May they listen to the voice of your Spirit who is dealing with them right now and have been dealing with them through this message, that they need to turn to you. And may they do it even now. No delays, no excuses. We pray that you'll bless the giving today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.